I'd like you to think about for a moment the most genuine person you know, that you have a relationship, the most genuine person you can think of. Think about that person's qualities for a moment. You know, I'm thinking about my dad, even though he's passed. He was the real deal. Not perfect, certainly, but he was real. He was genuine. There was no question about who he was. So who's the realest person that you know? So I want you to tell me, do you like being around that person? Yes or no, that person you're thinking about, that real person. Do you? Yeah, right? Most of us do. Now, shout out one by one if you can. What stands out in this person that you're thinking of, this realest person you know? What stands out? Kindness, honesty, integrity, faithfulness. You know, we can think of a lot of these qualities about a genuine person. You know, they're actual, they're real, they're sincere, they're not imitation, they're not fake. So we're always looking around for people around us who are genuine. Because, you know, let's be honest, none of us wants to hang out with someone who's a phony, right? And so on the flip side, that goes for you and I as well. Our friends, our families, our coworkers, they're looking around for someone who has the genuine gene, someone who is the real deal, which means we more or less are the same on the inside as our behavior shows on the outside. So in a world full of phonies, being genuine can seem like a rare quality. You know, and I don't know about you, but I still look for genuineness in the people that I want to hang out with. Do you feel that way too? Do you like to find genuine people? You look for real people to be with. So author Steve Tobeck, he reminds us of some of these qualities that make us seek out real people. You know, they don't pretend. They're simply themselves. A genuine person says what they mean and they do what they say. You know, that makes them more or less predictable in a good way. You know, we kind of know what they're going to be like. And genuine people practice what they preach. You think, oh, there's the hook for today's message, right? Practice what you preach. In the church, you know, we're all looking around for to see if together we're going to be the same people that we preach that we are, right? And so are we going to pretend or are we going to be real with each other? Are we going to be authentic? You know, will we be phonies or are we going to be honest and sincere in the face of living out this crazy calling that we have of following Jesus to be the church that we preach, that we say we are? So in the church at its best, what you see is what you get.
It can make me look really cool, but in the end, it's still me.
So if I just shattered your image of the church, I'm sorry, I really am. But, you know, that's if that messes with your idea of who the church really is, well, the church is made up of real people, right? And so some of us have quirks. Some of us has real problems, as you probably noticed. Some of us are just beginning this life of following Jesus, and, you know, we don't quite match up yet. Some of us are finding that what we thought we understood, you know, we're really finding out that it's challenging to us. It maybe isn't what we thought. Some of us are struggling with what the real church really is and how we are going about it. And it's best if we're just honest about the truth. You know, that we're all over this path of being followers of Jesus. You know, that we're seeking to be what we really haven't fully yet become. But it isn't this, you know, it isn't who, let's see. But we're trying to be real people. And it's really kind of messy, I guess what I'm trying to say. But, you know, if we're honest, isn't that the people we want to hang out with? Real people who do have real problems and who are on this journey seeking this path to being the kind of people that God wants us to be and doing that together. So right now, what you see is what you get. You look around. This is us. We're the church. But here's the good news. What we are becoming, now that is worth sticking around for. It really is. So the snapshot idea is the church at its best is genuine. It's the real deal. So remember, it's not only what people, we want people to be genuine with us, but they are also looking for us to be genuine with them. And no more so as real followers of Jesus, you know, not the phony kind. So how do we live into being these genuine followers that we expect to be or see in others? Well, the wisdom writer marks down the starting point for being real, saying that guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. It determines the course of where you're heading. The genuineness that we're looking for comes from the core of who we are. You know, the Bible calls this the heart. It's the center of our will. It's the center of our being. It's the center of our decision-making and even our understanding. So at this core is the genuine you. In the heart, as the Bible calls it, that's who we really are. And so our lives won't be determined by the goals of our education, though those are good, or it won't be determined by the title we hold, although sometimes that can be beneficial. You know, our real selves won't be defined by the people that we just hang around with, though that can impact our lives. Ultimately, our real self is determined by what's right in here, by what's at the center, our core, our true heart. So here's the question. If we're going to be absolutely real today, what's going on right here? What's going on in your heart? You know, if you were to share or to let us see today what's going on right here, what would we see? What do you see in your heart today? The writer says the way of the righteous, you know, being and living with God, is like the first gleam of dawn, and which shines even brighter until the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like total darkness. They have no idea what they're stumbling over. You know, the second idea is kind of the opposite of living genuine. It's kind of what the Bible says stumbling over is it's our downfall, really. This is what takes us out. You know, if you are real about what you find going on right here, right now, what do you do about it? You know, if it's not the way it needs to be, what do? Well, we do what we all do. Start at the beginning, what God has revealed to us about our heart. Jesus says, the scripture tells us, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with believing in the heart that you are made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. So I want to stop right here for a moment, just pause and say, you know, if we're going to be genuine today, to be real, and if I just keep on talking and keep going, and we don't actually stop to deal with something that may have been revealed in your heart right now, then we're not really making the best use of our time. So if any one of us are right here experiencing heart failure right now, we want to deal with it. You know, if somebody actually was experiencing a physical heart failure right now, like, ugh, and you tip over in your chair, and I stand up here and I start talking about CPR is a great way to handle this situation. You just put your hand on and you do this a few times, and then you give some breaths, and I just keep talking about it, and I point to out there is an AED, which is very handy in situations like this. You can just plug it all in and turn it on and really helps that person. And if I just stand here and just talk about it and we don't do anything about it, actually, then what happens? Somebody's going to die, right? Probably. And so in the same way, it isn't really any different, you know, if we're dealing with a spiritual heart condition or a spiritual heart failure. If we don't deal with it and actually do something about it, then we risk having or allowing a spiritual death to occur. And so if we find in our heart that it's not right, what do we do about it? We take it to Jesus. And we seek the wholeness and the forgiveness and the healing that Jesus provides for us, what his solution is. So if there's something wrong in here right now, Jesus has given us a cure. Healing is available, and it's available by telling the truth and receiving forgiveness. In fact, it is a real spiritual heart replacement that takes place here. It's a new heart. Do you need a new heart today? So what we do is just simply bring it to God. And so I don't really want to be awkward here, but I just invite us to bow our heads and just ask God to do some heart healing if there's a condition that needs to be taken care of. So I invite you right now, just bow your head, so that gives everybody the opportunity to deal simply with Jesus, with the Lord right now. And so in the midst of this, we just tell the truth and then ask God to heal our heart. So let's do that in prayer. So if you feel the need, just silently follow along with me. Lord Jesus, I am sorry for doing things wrong. I do need my heart fixed. And so thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me so that I can have a new heart. Thank you for rising from the dead so I can have new life through forgiveness. I ask, Lord, forgive me today. And Lord, send in your Holy Spirit into the depth of my soul, Lord, and fill me with your presence and bring healing and wholeness and life, Lord. Give me this new heart so that I can follow you and be genuine, Jesus, the person you made me to be. In your name I pray, amen. And so what do we do with that? Well, we believe. We believe in our heart that when the Bible tells us, when Jesus forgives us, that we do have healing, that we do have new life, that we do have a new heart, and we begin to live with that reality. We trust it. So welcome to the most new, or the most real life that you can live, that walk with Jesus. And so now we listen as we live genuinely into what this is all about. So the wise man says, guard your heart, for it determines the course of your life. And that means nurturing the right priorities in our lives, in our hearts. So we focus our heart on what's good. So this new Holy Spirit-filled heart seeks out those things that God desires. The wise man points towards God's ways that are revealed in God's Word. He writes, let the Word of God penetrate deep into our heart, for it brings life to those who find them, and healing to their whole body. And so, you know, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? The Word of God that brings life and healing to our physical and spiritual and emotional being, everything. You know, if you were to search the whole world and all the knowledge that you could find, and you found the key to health and wholeness and healing, that'd be quite a discovery, wouldn't it? I mean, you'd want to share that with the whole world. Well, here it is, right here in front of us. God says, this is what gives you this new life. You know, so the key to this genuine life with God is God's Word and living into that life. And it rescues us from the evils and harm that can hinder our life. And so if we're truthful, that raises the question, doesn't it? I mean, so this is what brings our wholeness and healing. So how does that work? When does it happen? You know, for where am I going to experience this? And so sometimes we don't have all those answers. Sometimes it doesn't make a whole lot of sense in our minds to even believe or expect or see or wait. And so that's where the heart again comes in. When our mind just doesn't quite grasp it, when we just fully don't understand it, then we believe with our heart and we move forward, trusting that we will find out one day God is going to reveal and heal and bring what we need. So we hold on until that day comes. We hold on by believing in our heart. The early theologian Augustine, he said, I don't seek to understand to believe. He said, I believe to understand. You know, I think that's a good point. We want to know everything, but sometimes we have to believe and hold on until we understand. So I'm thinking about the graduates today, and I want to speak about them for a moment. Being genuine in the world means keeping your focus on what's right. And I'm encouraged by what I see and hear and what you shared, Starla, on the wall about not just what their plans are, but how they feel like God has given them some direction and leading and guiding in their lives. From I have a servant's soul to, I think Jesus is going to equip me to help share who he is. And even some of those things about how they believe God has equipped them to go out into the world to serve other people. I agree that they're merciful and they have a servant heart. To me, that is very encouraging. And I think that's what God is calling the church to be. So I want to encourage them to keep that passion, to be real, to be genuine, to be those unique followers of Jesus as God leads them in their vocational calling. Greg Laurie reminds us the highest calling of God is what God has called you to be. There is no higher. What is the unique you that God has called you to be? And for the rest of us, being real means continuing to nurture those right priorities in our own lives, beginning to continue to follow the Holy Spirit to being the true you God has called you to. And it really doesn't matter what our age is. God is always leading us forward for his call, his purpose in our lives. And so being real, in the church at its best, what you see is what you get. So how do we live into being these genuine followers that we expect to see in others? Well, without judgment. If you've been preparing for a graduation party, I don't know if anyone here has been. If not, this might be a little time-saving for the rest of us. Good housekeeping listed 5 most common things guests notice when they enter your homes. First, they spy piles of mail lying around. So it says, keep an empty drawer in the kitchen for your correspondence. I kind of like that one. Right in the drawer, slam it shut. And then second, they notice dust bunnies and cobwebs, so wash the room corners and use the bathroom, or use the broom in a hand vacuum. So third, they notice a messy bathroom, so use glass cleaner for the mirror and other handy cleanup aids for the floor appliances. Make sure you check under the lid. And fourth, they notice dishes in the sink. So avoid embarrassment here by throwing them in the dishwasher, or, I love this, if needed, rinse them and place them in the oven. And if the oven gets full, then what do? Turn the oven cleaner on, automatic, and see what happens? Burns them up, I don't know. And the fifth one is our guests notice full trash cans. So empty all filled containers into a larger receptacle that can be kept out of sight. So if you've been in someone's house, what did you see? And, at our house, if I did all those things that it's listed there, that you'd still see a lot more than what was on that list around. But thankfully, I'm not the only one. I'm not the one. I put only in there. So we check out people's houses, and we look at them also. So a good question to think about is, when we view others, what do we see? Or even more importantly, what do we say? The wisdom writer says, avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. The original words here warn about being the opposite of genuine. It tells us to avoid being hypocritical. No one wants to hang out with a hypocrite. So we remember that from our heart, words flow. So if we want to be genuine, we speak the truth, and we do it in loving and merciful and Christ-honoring ways, ways that build up people and don't tear them down. When I hear the word hypocrite, one story pops to mind that Jesus tells. And I think it's a good one. It's pretty clear, really. Jesus says, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye?" It's kind of interesting here. You get the idea of a speck, but I don't know if we fully understand this idea of a plank. This is like a log in your eye. And so Jesus says, how can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take the speck out of your own eye," when you yourself failed to see the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the tree out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So, do you like hanging around people who are always judging you? No, I don't. Do you like hanging with people who are always correcting you? Or how does that make you feel? Especially if that same person is totally unaware that they have a big beam in their own eye. It doesn't feel too well, does it? So it's even worse if this judging is condemning. And that was what was happening in this story that Jesus was telling here with the religious people. So to be the church at its best, we do need to be real about our own timbers in our own eyes. You know, the really obvious ones, the ones that are poking out, the ones that we need to work on for ourselves first before we can help someone else with their own faults. And so, you know what, we all have a few of those faults, don't we? I have a few faults. It's true. And so do you. We all do. We have some timbers. So let's be genuine about being followers of Jesus. Let's be real about it and work out our own stuff as we walk together and enjoy hanging out together with other genuine timber poking in the eye like looking people that are just like us. You know, we all have faults. And so if we're real about ourselves, if we're honest and genuine about ourselves, we're going to be much more merciful with others. And the church at its best is marked by true and refreshing openness. So the Bible speaks to this saying, therefore each of you must put off falsehood, speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Some of you know Dora Jacobson. She's in the care center, and Dora has dementia. She's had for several years, and conversation with Dora has been very difficult. It's hard to know if she is aware of what you're talking about. And anyway, I did ask her family if I could share this story. I was there on Tuesday, and we had communion. Usually we go there once a month and invite those that are in the care center to come, or Prairie View. And in this particular day, she was the only one that came. And she was early, and she was content, which is good. She didn't want to leave, so we hung out. And then it came time to do communion. I said, well, Dora, it's just you and I, so we'll just hang out. And so she seemed okay with that. So we did some of the communion prayers and prepared. And then I thought, well, it's just us. I might as well just sing a song. So I sang a song. I figured, Dora's not going to care what I sound like. So I sang a song, and when it was all done, she said, thank you for singing that song. And I was like, wow, you know, that was like one of the few coherent statements that I've heard Dora speak in a long, long time. And I was like, well, this is neat. We had a real connection here. And then we kind of went on, and I handed her communion, and she took the bread and just kind of held it, and I kind of motioned, you know, like, take and eat it, but she wasn't having that. She just was good with just holding it. And so I tried to give her the cup, and she's like, nope, no cup. So we just kind of went on. That's fine. And so kind of finished up with communion, and I said, well, if you want to take the bread, you know, go ahead. And so we got all done. I started cleaning up, and she's still holding it. And I said, Dora, do you want me to take that? So I took it. You know, so we didn't quite accomplish communion, but we had this, you know, unique fellowship together. And in the midst of this, she said something that really caught my attention. Again, one of those coherent phrases. She said, you know, I need someone with me to remind me. I thought, oh, I need someone with me to remind me. And I think sometimes that's who we are as the church. We're just companions on the journey, reminding each other that, you know, we all need a Savior. We all need Jesus. And if we're just real with each other, we can walk that journey together, allowing the grace and love of Jesus to flow in and through us for healing of those around us, but also for our own healing. We all need one another. The good news is that when we're real, when we are authentic, we won't really need to tell anybody. It shows. Others see it in us and find what we're all looking for. Jesus explains it in this really simple illustration so we can all get it. He says, a good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. A tree is identified by its fruit. Figs never grow on thorn bushes, nor grapes on bramble bushes. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. So it's really that simple. I think, in the end, there are no pretenders. So let me ask you, can we be real with each other? Can we be the genuine church? Let's be the church at its best, becoming like Jesus, where what you see is what you get. Let's pray. Lord, it isn't always easy to be real, Lord, because we know that we aren't perfect. But Lord, we do ask you to help us to be those genuine followers of you who aren't afraid to acknowledge our own faults, knowing that you are the one who brings heart health and heart healing and new life. And so Jesus, as we walk together being real followers, Lord, help us to become who you want us to be together until that day we stand before you face to face, knowing the fullness and joy of being genuine in Jesus. We pray in your name, amen.